Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Now verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The one phrase I want us to focus our attention this morning is in verse 17, that form of doctrine. Now this phrase in this passage is found in that great and marvelous epistle that Paul wrote to his brethren in Rome, to Christian people. And the prime object of this book, like all of the epistles, the letters to Christians, was primarily to teach Christians how to live as Christian people. But also in these passages, we often find references to things that people had done to become children of God. Things that are spoken of as having been accomplished in the past, something that's already been done. Now, will you please consider with me the things that Paul says these Roman Christians had already done? At least the things that are mentioned in the passage that I read. In verse 2, he said they had died to sin. They had been separated from sin. Verse 3, he said they had been baptized into Christ, which of course meant they had been baptized into his death, into the benefits of his death, reaching his blood. Verse 4 said they had been buried in baptism and raised to walk in a newness of life. Verse 5 says that they had been united with Christ. Verse 6, the old man of sin, he was crucified. They are no longer, therefore, are the old man and in the bondage to sin. Now in verse 17, he reminds them that they were, at one time, servants of sin. But things were different now. Notice the conjunction, but. But now, they had obeyed what he calls that form of doctrine. And in verse 18, by that obedience and upon that obedience, they became servants of righteousness. Now just here, and I'll have more to say about this further in the lesson, I want you to take note that in this passage, Paul speaks of death, burial, and resurrection. Of course, in that order. There first is a death, but when there is a death, all human and divine law calls for a burial. And before there can be a resurrection, there has to be a death and a burial. And so Paul speaks here of a death, burial, and resurrection. Now you'll please note that the apostle says these people had been obedient. Here was something that they had done. Here was a command that they had obeyed. They had obeyed a form. The form of a doctrine. Now I want to emphasize these three words, just to underscore these three words. If I in my Bible, I would underscore these three words. They had obeyed a form of a doctrine. Obey, form, and doctrine. They had not been just obedient to a doctrine. They had believed the doctrine. But they had obeyed a form of doctrine. The doctrine is one thing and the form of that doctrine is another. The form simply means here is an image of, here is a pattern of, here is a likeness of, here is a representation, here is something that they had obeyed that was a representation of the teaching that they had been delivered and that they had believed. Now, in order to determine about that form, we have to understand what is the doctrine. For what they had obeyed was a form of the doctrine. What was the doctrine? Will you first please take note that obedience to this form of doctrine was necessary for them to change from being servants of sin to servants of righteousness. Obedience to this form of doctrine, in other words, had freed them from sin. Obedience to this form of doctrine is that which had brought them salvation. So we look for in Scripture that doctrine by which we are saved. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the first four verses, Paul is very explicit about the doctrine by which we are saved. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, where also ye have received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Now that's the doctrine that we're looking for. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now what did he preach? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then with verse 5 and following, he gives certain instances of witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Paul preached here, had delivered unto these people the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. He says, this is the good news, this is the gospel by which you have been saved. So here's the doctrine that Paul preached. Here's the doctrine by which they were saved. This is that which had been done by our Lord to provide for us freedom from our sins. This is what God has done. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scripture. That, friend, is the basis and the basic fundamentals of the doctrine of salvation. Now, this is the doctrine that the Romans heard. This is the doctrine, the form of which these Roman Christians had obeyed. Therefore, the doctrine, being the death, burial, and resurrection, we are to find that form, that representation of, that image, that pattern, that likeness of something they had done, which was a presentation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, just here, I think it is worth our time to take note of something with which we are certainly familiar, that there is God's part in God's plan for saving man, and there is man's part in God's plan for saving man. The divine side, the human side. That which God has done, that which man must do. The doctrine by which we are saved is God's part. The death, the burial, and the resurrection was that which deity has done on our behalf. The human part, man's part, is rendering obedience to the form of that doctrine. Now, this is that which these Roman Christians, Paul said, they had already done. Let's learn from the Scripture what that form is. Having the doctrine, death, burial, and resurrection, we know the form is what humanity must perform. We know that the performance of it is absolutely essential to take us from being servants of sin to being servants of righteousness. And can we learn what that form is? There's no doubt about it. After our Lord rose from the dead, he gave his apostles and through them to all of us that what we call the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Paul was preaching here in 1 Corinthians 15. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Our Lord, during his personal ministry, has said, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Christ taught the absolute necessity of belief. And here in Matthew 16, he coupled belief with something else. Now, friend, in spite of all the denominational harangue to the contrary, there is no way anybody can honestly and intelligently separate baptism from belief in Mark 16:16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized. He put them both together with a coordinate conjunction and, showing that they are of equal importance. You believe and are baptized to be saved. Now, that means both faith and baptism are essential to salvation. But that's not all the Lord had to say about what is essential to salvation. He also pointed out the necessity of repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. A change of heart, a change of mind, a change of goal, a change of dedication and determination, a change of allegiance. That takes place in the heart or mind of man. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere. That gets us, doesn't it? all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and verse 31. Now, the Lord doesn't want any of us to perish, but that all would come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And that's not all the Lord required. For in Mark chapter 10, verse 32, he said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven." And Paul wrote in Romans 10, the same epistle, 9 and 10, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 about the Ethiopian who made the good confession concerning Christ. "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." The teaching of our Savior, friend, was belief that He is the Son of God, repentance of sins, confession of that faith in Christ, and baptism into Christ in order to be saved. Now, that's what Christ had instructed to be taught. That's what the Holy Spirit guided the apostles to go forward, beginning with the day of Pentecost, to preach. This is what they preached. This is what people heard. And this is what people obeyed. These things, therefore, are things that deity has demanded of us, commanded of us, instructed of us, put down as a condition for us in order to be saved. Now, Paul says, obedience to the form of doctrine is necessary for salvation. Now, the form of doctrine being the death, burial, and resurrection, what is the form of that doctrine? Please note, the first item of the doctrine is death. The death of Jesus Christ. Christ died. Now, wherein is the likeness of death in the instructions that the Lord gave that we must obey in order to be saved? Paul says in this very passage that we have become dead to sin. Dead or separated from the practice of sin. In Romans 6 and verse 6, he said, "The old man of sin is crucified, put to death." There must be a killing, if you please, in our hearts of the desire and determination to live a life of sin. We must resolve, we must turn, we must change, we must make our determination that we will not live a life according to that pattern. We are to separate ourselves from that kind of life. There is to be a change in our heart and in our manner of the love of sin to a love of righteousness. Our affections are different. The things that we uphold and respect and admire and honor, they are different. We turn from one path of life, that which is in sin, and turn to a path of salvation. Now, the effort of a person in believing the gospel and repenting of his sins is that making of determination. I will no longer go that way. I will go this way. I believe I am lost. I believe I cannot save myself. I believe that Christ as the Son of God is my Savior. I will change my mind about going that way. I will separate myself from that kind of life. Now, it's not accomplished yet, but he made that determination. There will be a death, a killing of the love of sinning. Secondly, after the death, there was the burial of Jesus Christ. The second part of the doctrine is that burial. Paul says here that there is also a burial in baptism. We are buried with the Lord in baptism. Colossians 2 and verse 12 also teaches that baptism is a burial. Dear friend, there's just not any biblical authority whatsoever to substitute sprinkling or pouring or anything else and call it baptism and follow the oracles of God. If we're going to speak as the oracles of God, we're going to adhere to the very meaning of the word baptizo, which means to plunge beneath, to submerge, to immerse. We're going to follow the specific teaching of Romans 6 and Colossians 2 that baptism is a burial. As Christ died, so we die to sin. As Christ was buried, so we are also buried in baptism. That's a form of, that's a representation of, that's a presentation of the doctrine by which we are saved. And then the third item of the doctrine was the resurrection of Christ. Christ was raised from the grave where he was buried. And those who are baptized are also raised from that watery grave wherein they have been buried. And they are raised to walk in a newness of life. The old man of sin has been put to death. There is now the putting on of the new man. In the faith and repentance that separates from sin and the love of sin and the practice of sin, to being buried in baptism as Christ was buried, and to be raised to walk in newness of life as our Lord was raised. Can't you see this doctrine of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Can't you see the form of this doctrine in rendering obedience to the gospel plan of salvation that Christ ordained and that the apostles taught? Dear friend, we have the whole doctrine. We have the whole form as the death of Christ. There's the death to the practice of sin by the believing penitent. There was the burial of Christ. There is the burial of those who desire to be saved in baptism. There was the resurrection of Christ. There is the resurrection from the watery grave of those who would walk in newness of life. The form of doctrine, of which we read here in verse 17, that is to be obeyed before there is salvation, is faith, repentance, baptism into Christ, preceded by our confession of our faith in Christ. Please notice verse 18. Well, let me read 17 and then emphasize a word here in 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but... Now, things are different now. Well, what has made them different? But ye have obeyed from the heart, that means with understanding, with reverence, with knowledge. You knew what you were doing. You knew why you were doing it. That form of doctrine, that's baptism, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. You weren't freed from sin until this process was completed. Being then made free from sin. You're no longer the servants of wickedness. You're no longer the servants of unrighteousness. You're no longer the servants of death. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Friend, if upon one's completion of obedience, he is then made a servant of righteousness, dare we say that one is a servant of righteousness whether he obeys or not? Now, does this teaching have any meaning? We have precious souls in our midst here this morning who have not yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I plead with you to just reason with me. Here is the way to become a servant of righteousness, and it tells us when we become a servant of righteousness. Are we to conclude that we can dispense with that? Are we to conclude that we can be acceptable before God and a servant of righteousness whether we obey the form of doctrine or not? Why, if we can do that with this teaching, we can dismiss and dispense with any teaching that God has given us in all the pages of His book. I would implore you, therefore, to realize the absolute necessity of rendering obedience to the steps of salvation. Oh, I know that there be some today who like to ridicule the idea of steps to salvation, but they are steps in that there is certain progress that is made. One hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what these people did because Paul delivered it to them. They believed what Paul preached concerning Christ. They repented of their sins, and they confessed their faith in Christ, and they obeyed that form of doctrine. And that form of doctrine was the burial and resurrection from the watery grave. And when that is accomplished, you are then a servant of righteousness. And my beloved, until you obey that form of doctrine, you can never become a servant of righteousness. And so we would plead with you, understand and know this one point this morning. That's all I want to emphasize to you. This one point of God having made it absolutely essential for you to obey the command to believe and to be baptized into Christ. Words cannot be plainer than what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, has said here in Romans 6. This is that which we preach. This is that which we urge upon you. This is that which, from good reason and good Bible, we would persuade you to submit yourself and render obedience. Even to do that this very morning. To obey that form of doctrine and then be a servant of righteousness. Now it may be that you have once done that, and like what happens all too often, and whenever it happens, it's too often. You've drifted away, you've not been faithful, you need to be restored. No, you don't have to be baptized again. The Bible doesn't teach that. You are to be restored, however. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. How is one who has fallen away restored? Why, he must follow the plan of restoration that God has given. He must repent of his sins and make confession of those sins and pray God for forgiveness of those sins. Acts chapter 8, verse 22, 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9. Dear friend, we plead with you today, whatever be the state. We sang a song a moment ago. It's a beautiful song. It's a lovely song. It's a thrilling song. It is well with my soul. Is it really? Not until you obey the form of doctrine.